On October the 5th, I posted this on Facebook. The British Prime Minister had the guts to stand in front of his government and tell everybody that anybody that don't realize that a man's a man and a woman's a woman, there's something desperately wrong with you. What courage that took. Amen. So what I do is I go on Facebook and I say, God bless the Prime Minister who had the guts to say a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Say that, everybody. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. You kids listening to me this morning, you fine-looking children. Amen. The cowardly politicians in America need to have the guts to tell people the truth that any sane person knows. Don't let woke liberals back us down from a small minority of lunatics. Our children deserve better. Now, how many of y'all agree with that? I have 400 Facebook friends. Some of y'all are here in the room with me. And only 15 people hit the like button on that. 15 people. Only 15 people. And I'm going to recognize all my dear compadres here that always help us out. Dewey and Regina. I think it's your, you kind of combine it, don't you? Yeah. Coco C. Russman. I thought I always called her Coco B. Russman. Chris Brenna Swenson, which is a your aunt, and she's a conservative lady. A gentleman, I'm not going to say all the names, but a gentleman named Bill Bright who was the force behind Quest for Authentic Manhood. Two ministers, Al Garza, our dear friend Al Garza, and then a gentleman, another minister, a person that believes the Bible, Jim Fogarty. Yeah, I don't know if he'll listen on the radio, but Jim, God bless you for having kahunas. That's a polite way, isn't it? Huh? God bless you. And what do you call women that have courage? God bless you all for having moxie. Moxie. I got 400 friends. 400 friends. Two ministers responded. I've got at least six or seven other ministers that listen that are on my Facebook page. Not one response. So here's what I want to ask, and I'm going to use Becky as my questionnaire. So how, when I post this thing, how do you know I posted it? Is that true of everybody that's a friend of Facebook, that it's a friend of mine on Facebook? Did you see it, Jaslyn?
If they don't regularly interact with your post, then it may not pop up.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. But we regularly interact.
I seen it yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I got. I know.
Yeah, I seen it yesterday. So I don't kind of look at everything all the time. I'm just kind of.
I know. I know. So, but what? So, if somebody responds to me on a regular basis, they will get notified. You get notified, Leslie, that I've said something.
Probably.
Yeah.
Huh?
You can be friends with someone, but not follow them.
Right. If you
so
don't follow them, then you don't.
Your friends, but you don't see their post.
Yeah.
Because you're not following
their post. You don't get a notification. You don't see their post.
I don't get any notifications.
Yeah. He gets notifications.
You can
just
turn
them on your
power. Okay. So I can understand. Let me just go ahead and get. I'm venting this morning early, just for a minute, Maria. I'm venting just for a minute here. I can understand that people stay away from us and ministers don't promote us because we have the audacity to believe that God is not involved in evil. I think everybody's figured out in 27 years, you're probably not going to talk me out of that. I'm just guessing, right? So I can understand if you're scared to push like and promote that because you know you've got a congregation and you got somebody that's dying of cancer and you've got to tell them God's got a purpose in it. And I can understand that. I can understand why people would be afraid on that level. But for the love of Almighty God, I will never be able to understand why you can't push like when they're trying to destroy our children and do the most evil, wicked thing that can be done to a child. If you could watch your child be wheeled off to an operating room to see their private parts removed, then you yourself have demonic oppression. I may not call you demon-possessed, but you are under demonic oppression. Somebody should shoot me if I said, well, they're just trying to figure out who they are. Heck, I've been trying to figure out who I am for 64 years, but I've never doubted who I am physically. I mean, so this is heartbreaking to me. And shame on ministers. And it also tells me that they can't push like to anything I say because they're scared their congregation's going to think that they support some of the stuff that I talk about. That's the only other thing I can think of. But shame on you. And so, if you see posts like this, hit like. Some of you even hit the heart button. I think Regina likes to hit the heart button. I like that. It even makes me feel better. Okay, are we in agreement? It's a wicked, terrible time we live in. They've just invaded Israel. Jesus is coming back. I wouldn't mind if it's this afternoon, right after the Bengals and Cardinals play. I wouldn't mind it at all. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week. So I wanted to get that off my chest. It hurts me so bad. I want to make one other statement. The only reason why I've stayed in Facebook is because, to my way of thinking, it's one of the only ways I can tell people what the sermon title was about and how to go on the internet to listen to it. So that's probably, if it wasn't for that, I'd be off this thing. And how many ministers do you think ever push the like button on what I post on the internet? How many ministers do you think ever post like? None. None. And then we wonder why the church is in such a state it's in, because we are so brainwashed by religious theology. Amen. Amen. People can talk about me all they want, but I'm pro-church. I am. I'm pro-church. I want you to go to church. I know I don't know everything. I want you to come here for my Sunday school class because I got a good one. Can I get an amen? So we are going to finish up this morning. This is going to be my last week talking about Christ the healer, and this is part five. Part five. Anna, you have occasionally tuned in and clicked the website to hear my sermons, haven't you? Whenever you want to remind people that God didn't do something to them. You even got your boyfriend to listen. He even came to church with us. Praise God. Anyway, we're going to talk about, and we want to welcome Anna to the congregation this morning. Thank you. We get to see her because she has her hairstylist local, and she comes down to get her hairstyle. Amen. So Christ the Healer, part five. I'm going to put up a verse of scripture that one of these times I'm going to do a series on the top 10 verses I put up in the history of life in Christ Church. And I know the one I'm going to put up right now is in the top 10. No doubt about it, but I want to put it up as we're going to conclude for a moment, for a while, talking about Christ the healer. And I noticed we didn't get any real sick people to come to be prayed for. I noticed that. We offered. We invited them. We'll lay hands on you. We'll anoint you with oil, and we'll heal you. Woo! That's what Jesus said. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, we're not the one doing the healing. God's doing the healing through us, but He hadn't laid a hand on anybody. I mean, he may have showed up on somebody because there's supernatural things go on we'll find out in heaven. But generally speaking, if hands gets laid on somebody, Jesus is not going to be the person to put the hands on them. It's going to have to be us. God has to work through people, just like the devil has to work through people. God has to work through people. Because God made the world and everything in it, and then He gave control and dominion to man. The most remarkable, selfless thing ever done, that He gave it to man, and He gave man a free will. How do we know he gave man a free will? Because he told him that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And he didn't tell him that he'll make sure you'll never have that thought or that temptation, because it'll be your choice. Amen? So this verse of scripture is Acts 10:38. Peter has gone to preach to a Roman centurion. Oh, I just get up here and there's so many things that I want to share, because there's so many things that I talk about. And again, this is going to sound kind of arrogant, but I don't have any arrogance. Anybody that says Mark Browning's arrogant, tell him, no, you haven't met him lately. But he was sent to successful, powerful, rich Roman centurion, the first Gentile that gets the opportunity to hear the gospel message, which brings up another point that I have to share with you. We all think that who we got to minister to are everybody that's down and out, drug addicted, alcoholics, right? Porn addicts, poor people. By the way, we do need to minister to those people. But it's fascinating that the two salvations that the Holy Spirit promoted and encouraged were two successful people. First, the Jewish proselyte, the eunuch, in Acts chapter 8, when he's on the chariot, he's the treasurer of the Ethiopian queen's ministry, not a broke man. He's in a chariot and somebody else is doing the chariot. Now that's pretty cool. And God tells Philip, go over, take that chariot and preach to him. He wasn't down and out. He wasn't on his last nickel. As far as we know, he wasn't addicted to anything. But God knew if he could get the witness to him, that he would go back to Ethiopia and tell other people. We have cowardly thought that we don't have to tell successful people about Jesus. Tell anybody about Jesus. So this fella, we find out, prayed, gave alms, and helped the Jewish people. But the Bible says that here's the fascinating thing. None of that made him saved, because works can't save you. It's the grace of God that brings salvation to all people. But listen to this. See, God knew what this gentleman was doing. God knew that he was praying, that he was a giver, and that he supported the Jewish people. And absolutely, God was going to do everything he could to get him the right information. I wasn't going to go here, but it's so. I haven't heard anybody talk about this. So he has to convince Peter to go over there and minister to him, because he's a Gentile. He has to go over there and tell Peter, you got to go over there and see this man. And you've got to tell him words whereby he must be saved. You got to tell him the words. We have to speak the word. Thank God for prayer closets. I hope it don't smell like mothballs, like my grandmother's closets all smelled like. Man, did you ever open the closet of somebody that's up in age a little bit? That mothball smell would hit you. And she'd offer you a coat to wear, and I'd say, no, Grandmommy, I don't believe I want it. Thank you, though. And that coat was probably 40 years old. Of course, I'm not one to give up on a garment because it's got a little age either. But the man had to be taught and told the gospel. Prayer is important. It's necessary to stay connected to God. Jesus said to go in your prayer closet, so you don't show off and show people how wonderful you are because you pray out in public. But you've got to get out of the prayer closet, and then you've got to go into all the world and preach the gospel. See, and that's another thing about the mainstream church and even the evangelical church. All you see on Facebook from these people is, for the love of God, we've got to pray. No, for the love of God, we've got to tell people the truth. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. So, what's he tell him? He gets over there, and of course, you know, Cornelius wants to, Lord, I didn't think this is what you wanted me to talk about, but he keeps sharing me things. So Peter goes into the house, and of course this man bows down in front of him. And Peter says, oh, that's proper, because I'm the first pope. He wasn't even the true leader of the Jerusalem church. The half-brother of the Lord James was. Now, Peter did great things, but anyway, so he bows down in front of Peter, and Peter says, get up, I'm just a man like you who happens to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He never told anybody that he denied him three times. You ever notice that? Did you ever notice I don't tell you all the wrong things that I do? Huh? Can I get an amen? So what's he tell him? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Say that. Who went about doing good and healing. Now, let me finish that part of it, and then I'll let you talk. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the, now you can say this, by the devil, the god of this world, the one that's ruling this world system, the one that talked those morons or those evil people to invade Israel. That's the god of this world. That's the devil. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? Why? For God was with him. Oh, I guarantee I've put that up hundreds of times. That's a go-to verse. That's what he told the first Gentile converts about God and about himself. That's what Peter told the Gentile converts about Jesus and God, that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I will guarantee you there are multitudes upon multitudes of people who have sat in church after church after church on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and have never been told that verse. Amen. That's why we're on the radio. And that's why we're on the internet. This X thing, Bryant's got me all befuddled. I don't know it either. James, don't let me down, brother. 83 people have looked at the one thing we put on about the assigning of evil to God was birthed in the mind of Satan. I don't know what that means. Does that just mean they clicked on it? But we found out this, you have to click on it for the number to change. So if I thought I could do that, I'd get out of Facebook. If I thought I could do that, I'd get out of Facebook. But anyway, James, that's your homework. And as much money as we pay you, you ought to be willing to do that. Everybody cool? Now let's go over to Luke. I love it when my kids laugh at me in preaching. I like these two girls and boys. Amen. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. I've seen people like that. Have you seen people like that? Terrible thing. Verse 12. Now watch this. I'm closing this up, so I'm going to get a little tougher towards the end. Make sure everybody's clear on what we believe. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, God put that on you because there's some sin in your life and you got to get that all worked out. Now let me ask you a question about this woman. You think this woman's ever sinned? You think this woman has ever sinned? If you got a spirit of infirmity and you've been over for 18 years? I guarantee you there's a couple of days you cussed. Yes? Right, Jordan? The closet cusser in the family? But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, it's just not the right time. You'll just have to come back later. It's just not the right time. You need to figure some things out and come back later. We'll take care of it later. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Whatever will be, will be. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Who was speaking through him? The Holy Spirit. Who anointed him? The Holy Spirit. Who was with him? God. I hope some ministers listening, some Sunday school teachers listening. I hope the Holy Spirit will spark your heart to receive this and ignore the hatred or the jealousy you have towards me and just open your heart to receive this, because we owe it to Christians to tell people that God is not the one doing the bad things to them. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity, verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. Now, he was here to lay hands on her. He's not here to lay hands on her anymore. Who ought to have the responsibility now to lay hands on her? How many churches you know if she walked in that they'd offer hands being laid on her? They'd tell her, well, not zero. Right? There's maybe two. But I like zero for effect. But how many people you think would call her up and curse that infirmity and speak in the name of Jesus and command her to be healed?
Two.
Two's a good answer. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. This was the great God of heaven, anointed by the Holy Spirit, who had the Spirit without measure. Everything Jesus did was usually immediately. But the Holy Spirit's just reminded me to tell you this. Usually, almost all the time, when Jesus said something, the next word was immediately. But you know, he had to minister to a guy that was blind, and he took him out of town, took him away from unbelief. It was the unbelieving town of Capernaum, I think it was. He had to take him out of town, and he laid his hands on him and rebuked the blindness, and he said, how are you? And the guy said, well, I can see things, but, you know, kind of like trees. I can see things, but not fully. And he laid his hands on him again. Now, was it because Jesus did something wrong? No, he was getting this guy into faith, and it took two doses. How many of you have ever took some pills and it takes more than one dose? Huh? Praise the Lord. How many of you have ever took just one aspirin? That's the only aspirin you ever had to take. God bless you if that's true. I haven't had an aspirin in 40-something. Yeah, I have. I have, because I had some heart things that kind of was strange, kind of beaten, and I went in the cabinet and took some aspirin. I did do that for a while. Then we quit doing that. You're not trying to get me gone, are you? And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But there was an instance where he had to lay hands on a man twice, and then on the second time he laid hands on him, he was fully recovered. Could see everything. And he went and glorified God. You listening to me? Verse 14. But the ruler, listen to this now. Here it is. But the, we should change the wordage on this. But the ministers of the synagogue, but the ministers of the Christian church answered with indignation. Indignation because a woman was healed. Because Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath. See, they always want to bring some law into it, some condition on it. God will do this if you'll do that. No, it's the grace of God that brings everything to us. It's the grace of God that gives us what we need, not what we deserve. You can never get anything from God pleading your righteousness. Never. Never. One bad thought ruined it. Because God don't have bad thoughts. Are you with me? But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them. and not on the Sabbath day. What a hypocrite. What a phony. Because how many other people were being healed on the 6 days? None. Nada. Nobody. A hypocrite. He honors God with his lips, but his heart is far from him. Verse 15. Oh, this is so cool. Jesus do the talking here. Then the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, you think Jesus was afraid of people? No. You know why he wasn't afraid of people? The Holy Spirit was in him and God was with him. He coveted that more than friendship with people and getting man's approval. See, a lot of times the reason why people don't click on that, all that, on that stuff we put on Facebook is they don't want to offend their friends. Amen. And a lot of times they don't click on it because they just don't know, because nobody's ever told them this. This is not taught regularly. Jerry, this is not taught regularly and consistently in the church. If it was, we would see more and more and more people healed, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Verse 16. This is so cool. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Now listen. We got a higher calling. See? So ought not Christians, being sons and daughters of Almighty God. See, her connection to God was only through Abraham. Our connection to God's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our connection to God is we are no longer under the bondage of sin and slavery and the Satan. We are free sons and daughters of the living God. For you are all sons of God, Galatians chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. And listen, this was Jesus now. Listen, think of it. Can't you get the picture? That's what he's saying to these people. This woman was bound for 18 years. Think of it. Did God do it to her? Did God do it to her? Was God a part of it? Was Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit and power and went about doing good and healed this woman of this infirmity? Absolutely. Absolutely. Think of it. For 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And I'm going to read verse 17, because I got revelation on this one day reading the Bible and got overwhelmed with God's presence. So I'm just going to read it to you. Verse 17. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And this is what I got a revelation on. And all the multitude rejoiced. Listen. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Say that with me. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. All the glorious things that were done by him was done through the Holy Spirit and through God the Father, because the Holy Spirit and God the Father don't give bad things, they give good things. And if you listen to this sermon, you know, and just you get to 50 minutes of it, you know, I can't tell you. People say, well, why is bad things happening? I could answer that in a New York minute. Most of it's because of the law of sowing and reaping. But most, you know, that's most of the reason, the law of sowing and reaping. But anyway, isn't that beautiful? So in his ministry, he's healing the multitudes. He's healing people everywhere he goes. And then here's what the next verse, I hope I got these right, in Matthew. Matthew 12, 24. It's important to put this up because I need you to see the explanation that Jesus gives on this. Matthew 12, 24. Now when the Pharisees heard it, go up to verse 22 first. Let's go all the way through. I'll go quick. I got to get my other point made real quick. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. Boy, this fella had he was unlucky. Would you, huh? Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Okay? Now, I think it's inferred there that part of the reason he was blind and mute was because he was demon-possessed. Amen. You don't hear that very often either. Verse 23, and again, all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Verse 24, now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fella does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. It reminds me of people that say, anybody that speaks in tongues is of the devil. Oh, you tragic, tragic person. Stay away from those tongue talkers. Stay away from most people. Come over here and pay your tithes and stay here. Amen. This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Verse 25, but Jesus knew their thoughts, of course, because he was fully God and fully man. Hallelujah. Fully God and fully man. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Verse 26, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? All he's saying here is that if you're accusing me of healing people through Satan, then I am violating his kingdom, because Satan doesn't heal people. Satan makes people sick. Satan oppresses people. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Is there any clear thinking person listening on the radio that's heading to church that can understand that? And would any of you have the audacity to raise your hand and tell that minister, will you quit talking like that? Can you shut up for just a few minutes? Amen. That's what he's saying. Y'all listening to me? So now we're going to go to Matthew 15:30. All right, now here's what I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to finish with the Christ the healer, because I want to bring some balance to this once again. I want to bring some balance. So who is the oppressor? Who is the oppressor? Who's the one that's causing people trouble? Who is the deliverer? Who's the one that went about doing good and healing all who were sick? Did he also then send out his 12? And later in Luke, he sends out 70. And did he not also tell them to go heal the sick? Yes. Did he not?
Yes.
Because if the master's doing something, again, in relation to how it was at that time, should his servants be doing at least what his master's doing? Yes. Is his kingdom divided? No. So the kingdom of God is about health, life, peace, joy, deliverance. Then great multitudes came to him, of course. Why wouldn't great multitudes come to him? Now listen to this. Having with them the lame, I think I'm going to get this right. That's people who can't walk, right? If you're lame, you can't walk. The blind, that's pretty self-obvious. You can't see. The mute, I'd be one of those people now without my glasses. I can't tell you that's Leslie Booker. So man, amen. There's a story behind this. I could have got healed of this, but I didn't know enough about the Word of God. Once you realize that if you drive a car, you better put these glasses on, you went ahead and put them on. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Who said amen? My boy. See, y'all, kids can stay in here because it's interesting. It's never boring. No. Then great multitudes came to him, having with him lame, he can't walk, blind, you can't see, mute, you can't talk. Here's the one I really want to get a hold of. Maimed. Maimed people. These are people that don't have parts of their body. They don't have an arm. They don't have a leg. There's even people in our society that are paralegic. Val, if you're listening, I just screwed another word up. what is it called? You know, if you don't have arms, huh? Paraplegic. See, look how far this man's come. Look how far this man's come. He's actually teaching me the English language. Amen. But here's what I want to say. Ultimately, these people are oppressed by the devil, but it's not necessarily demonic oppression, but it is demonic oppression because all this entered the world through Satan, through sin. And somebody can be maimed for many reasons. Back in the day, a fellow might have fell off his camel, went down a cliff, lost his arm. In our day, you might be working on a piece of machinery and accidentally cut your arm off. You might be in a car wreck and lose limbs. You with me? So I want to balance it out by letting you know that it's not necessarily directly related to the devil. So I don't want you to get condemned by that. The fellow that was born blind, they said, was it because his mom sinned or the parents sinned? Jesus said, no, neither of them sinned. It's because I'm going to heal him. And God didn't make that man blind for 40 years so Jesus could come along and heal him. If you believe that, you are dumber than a stump. Amen. Hallelujah. So anyway, what I'm pointing out, what I want to make sure we get clear on this, is that there could be natural reasons why something's wrong with you. But ultimately, it all traces back to the fall of man, where imperfection came into the world. You tracking with me? But the most remarkable thing to me is that there was not one type of infirmity, not one type of infirmity that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't heal. Not one. It didn't scare him if you came in with no arms and legs. And wouldn't that be fun to watch that? You think watching football's fun. What about watching somebody's arms and legs grow out right in front of you? Woo! Better than Spider-Man 2. Which one had the lizard in it? Spider-Man 1, I'm close. Amen. Well, that's the second set of Spider-Man. Amen. Because, you know, that's what we'll go watch. We'll go watch those kind of guys, but we got the greatest superhero in the history of the world to read about, and I just don't want to do it. It's just too hard to read the Bible. Well, if you don't read it for yourself, you're going to let somebody talk you into some stuff that's wrong. And you got to check me out, too. Check me out. I've been wrong on a few things. I've changed on a few things in 27 years of ministry. I have. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Oh, say that with me. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Verse 31, watch this. So the multitude marveled, of course. I'd marvel. Man, now that's one TV evangelist I'd watch. Amen. Put him on TV, and limbs are coming out of, are growing back. Blind people are seeing. The deaf are hearing. The ignorant are made smart. The maimed made whole. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking. Listen to this. The maimed made whole. Man alive. The lame walking and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. You know why we don't have mass people glorifying God? Do you know why we don't have mass people glorifying God? Because they think God's involved in evil. And I stay away from people that I think's going to haunt me. I don't run around people that I think's going to get me. I go to people that I think like me and want to share their stuff with me. For the love of God, before we end this sermon, have the courage, if you're listening, if any of my 400 friends are listening, of course, none of my relatives, they wouldn't push like on anything I've ever said in my life because they'd have to admit that I know something they don't. That's right. They'd have to admit he knows something I don't. I know a lot more than you don't. Amen. Praise God. And they glorified the God of Israel. Oh, Father, we just praise your name this morning. I know sometimes I get off track, but I do most of it just to keep people interested, not to fall asleep. But I want to tell you right now that this body of Bible students believes that you are good, that your mercy is everlasting, that your truth endures to all generations, and that you want people well. We also understand, because I've been doing it for 27 years, it's very, very difficult to get this into the heart of the believer because they've been baptized in unbelief. So we're going to have compassion on anybody. I have to have compassion on people because I have some stuff I have to deal with. But I know it's not you doing anything bad to me. I know that you're my Redeemer. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is God, and God calls people to glorify him because God did good things for them. And the great thing about us is that through the blood of Jesus, we're not bound up by you not helping us because we've sinned. We have the ability to receive what you've given us because by grace, you've forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and future, in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said, all right, now we're going to sing a song, Lion and the Lamb, and it's a beautiful song. We got to put up Philippians 2:6. Oh, I read this verse in U Version of the Bible this week. You know, I like the fact they give you a verse and then it gets me a reason to read the whole chapter. Go to verse 5 first. Let this mind, only the Holy Spirit can do that for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Always listen to me. If you're in some kind of religion that just makes Jesus a prophet or just makes him a holy person or one of God's children, like some cult out there that teaches that Jesus and the devil were brothers at one time. Flee from that. Get out from under that. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Oh man, God is who redeemed us. God is who redeemed us. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. That's what we are. We're of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Fully God and fully man. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The depth of that will never be understood, that the creator of everything, the creator of the human eye, the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars, got on that cross willingly, consciously, selflessly, because he was the only way that sins could be remitted and removed, because everybody else had the sin nature. But he had the divine nature and the blood that dripped off that cross. And he ran out of blood. That's why water only flowed from his side. He ran out of blood. He bled completely out. And that blood was the blood of God himself. And that blood will cover any sin ever committed forever. Amen. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Hell used to be under the earth. They're not sure if that's where it is anymore. There was one incident where people were drilling into the core of the earth and they heard people screaming. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Listen, by radio or internet, do it in this life. Because if you do it in this life, you're heaven bound, you have eternal life. If you wait till the afterlife and you didn't do it, an angel's going to come around and make you bend that knee. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. So listen, say this with me, everybody.
I believe
that God Himself
became
man
and dwelt
among us.
I believe
He lived a sinless life.
He worked miraculous miracles.
He went to that cross.
He bled and died
for my sins
and the sins of the whole world.
He was buried.
But on the third day,
He rose from the dead
so we could be redeemed.
So I confess with my mouth right now,
I am a child of God.
I am redeemed.
I am healed.
I am saved.
Oh, glory to God
in Jesus' holy name.
Man, if y'all did that with me on the radio and internet, welcome to the kingdom of God.
Do me a favor, radio listeners. Come on, do me a favor. Shoot us an email.
If you shoot us an email, we're not going to ask you to get on our mailing list. We don't have one.
We don't have a mailing list.
Just shoot us an email. We kind of want to know who's listening.
Shoot an email. You go on the website, there's an email address, and I see it.
Amen.
Is there anybody before we leave that would like hands laid on them for anything this morning? If you need hands laid on you? Huh? Come on up. Charlie, how old are you?
Seven.
You're a good-looking young man. Do you have an understanding of what we've been talking about? Do you? No, I'm asking you. You don't. You don't understand it. So you don't understand what we've been talking about. Don't be scared. So you haven't reached the age of accountability. So you're all right. But I want you to realize something. At some point, you're going to recognize that you did something you shouldn't have done. And the way you get out from under that is confessing the Lordship of Jesus. So you'll do that at some point in your life. I prophesy that over you in Jesus' name. Amen. What's he got something wrong with him? Are you hurting? Where are you hurting at? Oh, my goodness.
More like where he's not hurting.
You got an owie. Huh? I'm going to lay hands on you, and the power of God in me is going to bring healing to you. Because I'm going to heal you by the power of God and through the name of Jesus. And you're going to be free of this pain. What's your first name?
Charlie.
In Jesus' name. I rebuke this pain. I supernaturally tell the soreness in your body and the pain in your body that you have to leave this man because his spirit's still alive unto God and it is accomplished by faith through grace. And Charlie said,
amen.
Amen. That's good, brother. Amen. We want to help anybody that needs it. I'm going to make this part of our church service. We give you the glory, honor, and praise in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.